Good morning and welcome to the Monday, December 9th edition of Byers & Company. We're live in the Palatial Studios in downtown Decatur. The Emotional Marine. Talk about mental toughness and emotional intelligence. Plus Amber Kaler and tickets. See the Illini, courtesy of J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your week. Enjoy the 50-degree temperatures today because it's going to be like 19 overnight, and we're getting right back into winter. All right, so we live in a day and age where it seems like everything is a battle, right? Impeachment vote coming this week? Uh-huh. No, yes, maybe. Articles broad, tight. Is anyone even paying attention to this?
No.
Well, either they are or they're not, and I think the ones that are not are actually healthier, but the ones that are get together the holiday season. You got family members not speaking to each other because of who they voted for or didn't vote for. It seems like we are constantly at war with one another, and we thought it would be interesting to talk to Eric Rittmeyer, as a former U.S. Marine and expert in the field of mental toughness and emotional intelligence. Do you often put those two things together? We're going to do that right now. Eric, good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. You're a former Marine. Do we put the Marine Corps and emotional intelligence together? Is that a natural fit?
It is. I figured it would be a good mix for my book. I've been working on it for years, and I was like, you know what? I like the emotional piece of it, but I also like the Marine part of it. It's like the emotional intelligence mixed with the mental toughness.
All right. So describe emotional intelligence goes back quite a ways, like back to like somewhere around 1964. But in the mid 90s, there was a book about emotional intelligence where it started to gain popularity. Give us the breakdown of your definition of what emotional intelligence means.
Yeah, and you're spot on with that. It wasn't until like the mid-1990s where there was this new concept that's like, hold on for a second here. I don't understand how people can have the highest IQs and go to these Ivy League schools and get these advanced degrees, but they go out and they try to lead a company and it fails. It's like there has to be something missing here. So the concept of emotional intelligence came about, and basically in a nutshell what it is, it's IQ and EQ are inversely related. And what I found, you can probably agree with this, I would think, it seems that the higher IQ people are the lowest EQ people, meaning that the book smarts are there, but the emotional intelligence piece of it's not. The self-awareness, the self-regulation, the ability to motivate, the empathy piece. So emotional intelligence, the awesome thing about it, why I'm so intrigued by it, anybody can increase their level of emotional intelligence regardless of how smart you are.
Okay, and how do they start to do that?
It's acknowledging emotions and understanding emotions. We're all emotional creatures, and we're absolutely horrible at controlling our emotions. I have a program. I train salespeople, and it's one of the things I tell them is, guys, I'm here to get you to get drunk in emotion. So all I ask them is critical thinking questions, but what happens is they get so overcome with emotion, they're incapable of thinking logically, and that bleeds into everything. It bleeds into politics. Look at that right now. There's no logic. There's nothing logical that's happening. Everything's tied to an emotion. It's a feel-good, but there's no statistical data to back anything up. That's the problem.
Okay. Now, you also suggest that because we have fewer and fewer people serving in our armed services, what is it, about 0.4% of the population, and only about 7% are veterans, that those folks have critical training that our entire country could benefit from?
They absolutely do. You know, I don't know, like I can remember my grandfather sitting on his lap and watching black and white TV and him talking about being at war and shelling, you know, firing bombshells and stuff. It's, you know, I had that. We're missing that. There's a gap right there. There's no social fabric. Everybody's going in a million different directions, and we have these people. When you have 7% of the population that are veterans, you have a couple generations that have skipped. So unfortunately, we have this generation of kids that don't understand the sacrifice that goes into things. They don't understand what this country was built on. Requiring kids to go serve, I think, give it a two-year thing. It doesn't have to be war. It can be national service. You want to talk about creating a social fabric. Instead of having them pointing in different directions, we're all going for a common thread, for a common fight.
And there does seem to be that lack of a sense of unity, you know, as a country altogether. And you mentioned our leadership in Washington, D.C. I mean, that's Exhibit A in the display, that we're not teaching kids anything in this country about having being part of something bigger than yourself, or working together, or putting mission first, all those things that people learned in the armed services.
You're absolutely right. You know, that's the thing about it, Brian. That's the thing. Like, you know what you get with a veteran, okay? You know you're getting commitment, integrity, accountability, loyalty. It's that service before self mentality that veterans have. And we don't have problems like we have in normal civilian society in the military. We don't see color. Like, when I was in the Marine Corps, we didn't see color. We didn't know race. We were a light green Marine or a dark green Marine. All that mattered to me, when things go down, when stuff goes bad, do you have my back? That's all I care about. Nothing else matters to me. It doesn't matter where you came from, what you believe in. That means nothing to me. The military's got it down pat.
All right. Now, on the other side of emotional intelligence, attaching everything to sort of feeling good or not feeling good, I mean, have we not gone a little too far down this road? I look at college campuses today and safe spaces, and everyone's, it's not what you say, it's what I hear, and that lack of sort of discipline for multi-generations, as you pointed out. I mean, that's sort of a dangerous road, isn't it?
Oh, dangerous is an understatement, Brian. I mean, look at this. Here's the problem. Any minute I come at you with a fact that conflicts with a belief you have, you automatically default to these defense mechanisms: racist, bigot, fascist. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I've come at you with a fact that conflicts with a belief you have. The problem is your belief isn't substantiated by any fact. So when I produce that fact, you get upset about it. The college campus is a prime example. UC Berkeley did a study on that. I think it was like 40% of the students on that campus that they polled, they viewed some forms of speech to be an act of violence, meaning that 4 out of 10 people thought it was okay if I said something they didn't like. That was equivalent to me punching them in the face. That's horrifying.
It absolutely is. I think it's also why we have a lack of understanding, more so than ever before, about citizens and civilians and law enforcement. You know, men and women in uniform, when I was a kid, you know, we were taught to sort of respect them, that they were your friends. They were the people that you go to when you're in trouble. And the country sort of turned that upside down.
And Brian, another thing I speak on, I'm very passionate about, we talk about mass shootings, we talk about the problems, and people talk about gun control. My whole mindset on this is it's a lack of fathers, and people give me a hard time about this. It's a lack of fathers that are causing these problems, and this is nothing negative towards moms, towards women. They're wonderful, they're awesome, they do an amazing job, but a boy especially needs a father. It was Dr. Warren Farrell wrote a book called The Boy Crisis, and basically what he found was 90% of the mass shootings we've had came from kids that grew up in households without fathers. Some of the cities that are having the biggest problems right now, Baltimore, Chicago, like 75% of households, kids are growing up without a father. So if you don't have somebody there, a mom can talk and explain the kids, and normally they do take that more compassionate approach, whereas a man needs to be there to lead by example. And if these boys aren't seeing that, if they're not being taught respect, why should I respect a police officer? Who are they? I'm being told I shouldn't like them. It's pure insanity.
All right. So how do we we're visiting with Eric Rittmeyer, by the way, former U.S. Marine, expert in the field of mental toughness and emotional intelligence, and the author of the book, The Emotional Marine, 68 Mental Toughness and Emotional Intelligence Secrets to Make Anyone Instantly Like You. How do we get out of sort of these code words and buzzwords and black and white definitions? Like, I mean, everything you just said for some people would be sort of a case of toxic masculinity.
And that's pure. That's a defense mechanism, okay? What it all boils down to is accountability. At home is where everything starts, okay? Kids are born, children are born wanting to love. Children do not want to hate. Children, the only thing children hate when they're little are naps and the boogeyman. That's all they know. They don't know color. They don't know race. They don't know anything else. We have to stop raising children based on these, here are the beliefs, this is what feels good. We have to raise them what's called objective reality. Look at the facts. Don't automatically assume something is correct just because a group of people assume it's accurate, and they have to be raised in a house full of love. Kids are just being, you know, they're kind of being shuffled. It's like, all right, whatever. Divorce rates are up, believe it or not. I hear that quite often. People say, oh, well, that's the problem we're having right now. Divorce rates are the highest they've ever been, which is actually incorrect. Our divorce rates are very low right now compared to history. The problem isn't a divorce. The problem is the father that leaves. I'm very, very hardcore on that because I believe that's the biggest issue we're having right now.
All right. We just, you know, on Saturday honored so few veterans that are still around from Pearl Harbor. That generation seemed to get it. I know they had their flaws and life wasn't perfect then, but do we have to throw out the perfections with the imperfections?
About that. Okay, you look back to that generation, which truly is the greatest generation ever. You're talking about kids. okay, children, 17, 18-year-olds that are being thrown into these wars, being thrown in the battles, and they did it graciously. They knew there was a bigger cause. We've totally gotten away from that now, where everything is all about, you've upset me, you've hurt me. There's no putting the mission first. And it's not even putting the mission first, I would say. It's about the sense of unity. We have nothing that brings us together anymore, and it goes back to politics. It's automatically 180-degree opposite. We're so ensconced in these political beliefs that we have that we've become incapable of understanding what's right and wrong. It's mind-boggling to me when I see these things that are being said and things are happening and nobody's defending and everybody's going out. We can't even gather and rally around when there's a horrible event. We have to politicize it.
Yeah, that certainly has changed and changed dramatically. Now, we're coming up on the holidays. You know, we just got out of Thanksgiving. We're heading into Christmas. I don't recall in my lifetime where you had at least as much as you do today, like where family members can't even gather without all of this creeping in. What's your advice to folks who dad voted for Trump and daughter or son voted for Hillary Clinton, and they just can't seem eye to eye to even get around Christmas?
Do not invite Cousin Eddie. That RV pulls up out front in the driveway. The whole holiday is done and over with. No, it's you know, my biggest bit of advice there, Brian, is going to be you have to suspend your disbeliefs. That's another thing we've become very bad at. I can't disagree with you because you're automatically wrong because you disagree with me. From a family standpoint, especially around the holidays, we have to learn to take time to respond to somebody as opposed to react to them. So we have to know in these settings, especially around the holidays, people are coming. Some of them are coming there ready to start this fire. They want to come there and poke at you. You have to take the time to respond as opposed to react. So preemptively go into these situations, kind of get a feel for who's going to be there, and run it through your mind. Okay, if this is said, this is how I'm going to react. It's understanding your triggers and knowing that when one of those triggers come up, you're in an emotional state of mind. You're going to react differently when you're emotional.
Eric Rittmeyer, the book is literally The Emotional Marine, 68 Mental Toughness and Emotional Intelligence Secrets to Make Anyone Instantly Like You. Your website is mentaltoughnessspeaker.com. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It sure is, Brian. I appreciate you having me today.
Thank you, Eric. We appreciate it as well. Emotional intelligence. Do you buy into this? There's some controversy around it not being science.
Why is that?
Oh, just that